This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM, your nonprofit community radio station, online at prp.fm. And brought to you by KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm. Also brought to you by X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM, online at xray.fm. This is the Student Hour.
Portland Public Schools Superintendent Guadalupe Guerrero announced that he would be stepping down from his position and will leave the job in February, according to a PPS statement.
I knew that at some point, I think any CEO is always thinking about, you know, at what point does a transition make sense?
Elected unanimously by the school board in August of 2017, he was PPS's first Latino superintendent. He held the position for 7 school years.
I actually held off a little bit because I felt like there were some hanging chads, like settling our labor contracts, some facilities planning work that we want to do, and a few other things on the to-do list. Just wanted to make sure we cleared those, and I wanted to make sure our board was afforded the time for, you know, a really thorough community input superintendent search process.
During his tenure, PPS improved graduation rates, doubled CDE programs, and expanded access to arts education.
I don't have any regrets looking back. We're in the business of continuous improvement, so I'm sure there's lots of things I could have done a little bit better, but I'm also proud of, you know, where I did put my energy and what we were able to get through.
This is Joe, and you're listening to the Student Hour, powered by AM 1450 KBPS Portland.
Hello, listeners. I am Chilho Susk, Chief of Promotion here at AM 1450. And today we're going to be talking about how we feel about the week being taken away from winter break and what we plan on doing during the winter break. I am joined here with Zip, our Chief of Music.
Hey there.
Josiah, our Chief of Staff.
Hell yeah, I'm here.
And Jose, a part of our KBS student staff.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, so let's start with Chief of Staff. How do you feel about the week being taken away?
Well, personally, I don't have like a super huge opinion on it because it's sad, right? Like we miss a whole week that we would have had off, but I can't say I would really be doing that much over that week. I know other people had stuff planned, but my family has just kind of been chilling. We don't know what we're doing. Things are just happening as they're happening. So for me, probably I would have just eaten food and hung out with my family and play some board games. And probably for Christmas, I wasn't really planning on doing very much anyway. For the break, though, I'm just going to be hanging out with my family Christmas time and all, you know, getting some gifts from old jolly Saint Nick. Santa's real, kids.
You heard it here first, folks.
You heard it here from the KVS student staff that Santa is real and do not let anyone tell you wrong. What's your whole take on this?
In my personal opinion, I feel like, I mean, we did have a whole month of break, so.
Yeah, and, but on the contrary to that, like, parents did plan vacations, could even be a year in advance around the timing that they thought this break would be.
Yeah.
I understand that because we got a month off, it would make sense to, you know, get a month off or a month back somewhere else. But on a week that PPS knows that people probably planned around, I don't really agree with that. Because in my case, I'm going on a vacation to Puerto Rico for 2.5 weeks. I'm going to be missing an entire week of school plus some more, and I'm not excited for that.
Yeah, I know somebody that usually goes to Mexico for winter break. So instead of me missing 1 week, now he's missing 2. Me personally, I planned on working that entire first week of winter break because nothing's happening. Probably still will be because I can't call out because no one can take my shifts. But I do agree. I mean, I think it was a discussion. I don't know if you guys heard it, but teachers were talking about having 5 minutes be added on every day.
Yeah, no, I think that would be, like, much better because that's just one for each class and one more for lunch.
I do think that should have happened instead of, like, the whole, hey, we're just going to take a week off your winter break and then figure out the rest later.
Yeah. And I also, like, understand adding more, like, at the end of the school year, because most people don't plan a vacation for as soon as school gets out, especially this early in advance, because when there's snow days and stuff like that, they add that on to the end of the year. So you normally want to leave you normally want to leave like a week or two at the end of the year for vacation.
My family is different because yeah, my sisters are in lacrosse, so they have tournaments during that season, and I'm in scouting, and I have like two different summer, one summer camp. I'm in the woods. The other one, I am in a different state. So, yeah.
I mean, for us seniors, our graduation date's still the same, right?
It's still on the 31st, I believe.
Yeah, they already put the money in for that. So if they change it, they're gonna lose money for it. So they won't.
Which is which actually makes sense for why they're not adding more onto the end of the year. Well, I'm pretty sure that they're still adding some, but because
not for us, I don't think.
Yeah, not for us, but which is why they're adding more during the year so that the seniors can get more school time.
That petition where it was like, sign this petition, get the week back for winter break. Did you guys get that?
No, I didn't get that. No.
I didn't either, but I definitely believe that it exists. I don't think it's going to be successful.
I would sign that.
I would. Yeah, no, I totally would, but I don't think
I don't have the link on my phone, but I think it was like, it was in like the thousands when I saw it.
That makes sense.
When I got it, yeah.
But do you really think PBS is going to care? No.
Absolutely not. They don't care.
Yeah, like even after the strike ended, I know that a couple weeks ago, me and you and a couple other people talked about, you know, our opinions on the strike and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It, the reason why it like came back, like it, they brought it back, they brought school back on the Sunday right at the end of Thanksgiving break. And I think the reason that they did that is because it had already been going on for 3 weeks at that point, and they didn't want it to go until the holiday break coming up in like 2 to 3 weeks from then. It would have gave them a very bad image. So they're like, screw it, we're just going to go back so that we don't look as bad. And it was just not as successful.
Yeah. I do think like, if they did go into like a December time, then that's like some time forward. I know several students would start freaking out thinking it was back to COVID again. Anything else you guys want to add on?
I think that people, I to add to kind of the cutting the break in half and then also the extra week on the end of the school year, I feel like one of the reasons the school did it is so that way they didn't have to reschedule the day, because this is something that Jacob mentioned, is that 5 minutes means that you need to change when classes end, how long the break is, right? Even if it's by a small amount, you still need to change it. Overall, it probably wouldn't have mattered.
It would have been less effort, or it will be less effort for the district and more effort for the students and faculty to split the holiday break in half compared to adding more to the day, which would have been harder for the district because they have to organize that over all the schools. I think that this is just another case of greed.
Yeah, the other thing is that the district has kind of just been wanting to win this whole time. I know that some teachers have talked about how this cutting the break and adding extra days is just to get at the teachers who are like struck back.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's just so that way they can be like, we want to win in some way, and if we can't win the battle, or if we can't win the war, we can at least win the battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And for those who don't know, the days that we are going to have to come back for school during the breaks, it's the first week of winter, January 26th, February 19th, and April 8th.
And there's probably going to be more added on to that because that doesn't even cover half of what we missed during the strike.
Yeah.
Also, I feel that because they're cutting our winter break in half, there's usually a spirit week, which is where everybody dresses up in like costumes each day of the week related to
days,
like, theme days for costumes. So I feel like the least the district could do is turn the week that we're missing, or the week that we're missing for a break, into a spirit week.
That would make sense. Yeah. There would be a lot less participants, though, because a lot of them are still going to be going on vacation.
Yeah.
Which is fair, but for the people that are here, at least, right? Like, no, I allow agree, us to have some fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if they talked about it, but I feel like they might hit our spring break, too, honestly.
Probably, yeah. They just didn't want to say it right now because it would cause too much outrage.
Yeah.
I did hear about that.
You did?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's the thing we talked about.
One of the teachers was talking about how they might hit spring break, which would really suck. Yeah. They might be removing a week from spring break, too.
I'm probably just going to work for that time. That's my listeners, that's my form of protest. More work. That's it.
Skip school. Go to work.
Skip school. Go to work. Make money.
Do what we want to do.
We do not actually condone skipping school.
Yeah, no, don't skip school. Don't skip school. Focus on school. Yeah. I'm doing it because I'm pretty baller like that. I have like over 100 in all my classes. Yeah. So.
But because PPS is making this decision that screws over the teachers and students a lot, so far most of my teachers have been telling us, hey, we are going to accommodate for the people who are missing. We will give you access to all of the work that you would miss before you leave, or we will just have less work so that there's less of you, less for you to catch up on.
But aren't they doing a thing where anybody who's going out of the country can't work on any of the work they're doing?
We actually talked about that in my government class. The reason for that is not to get back at students. The reason for that is because there have been a lot of hacks recently from countries that aren't in America against the school system that's stealing students' names, addresses, social IDs, social security numbers. And it's just convenient timing that these two happened similar to each other, but it did make them look a lot worse, and that's a fail on their part.
I thought that they were doing that just to
get back students who were leaving during winter break.
There's not really any other plausible explanation without the other details. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I figured it was because it was to stop students from going on break.
That would have been evil.
Yeah, that would have been super.
Yeah.
Which is why
especially for people that already like bought tickets, bought plans. Yeah. Like,
but also it does make a little bit of sense because like each of the teachers, they get paid based on how many classes and how many students they have. Mm-hmm. The schools, they get based on how many students they have, how good their grades are. And the districts get paid by the state government based on those same things. It would make sense for PPS to want their students to not go on vacation and stay in the school that the week that they gave back so that their grades and stuff will be higher so that they can get more pay.
Screw the district.
Pretty much.
Again, I am Chilahoa Susk Freelander, Chief of Promotions, and I was joined here with
Zip, Chief of Music,
Josiah, Chief of Staff,
and Jose, one of the KPPS student staff.
Thank you all for listening to the Student Hour here on not only KPPS, but also PRP and KBU. Hope to see you all next time.
Hi, I'm Connor reporting for the Student Hour. The holidays are in full swing right now with festive decor pretty much everywhere you look. For this story, we're taking a look inside of Benton High School and asking a simple question. What's your favorite holiday tradition? Here's what people said.
What's your favorite holiday tradition?
Me, my entire family, or my immediate family and my grandparents on my father's side will go and get a Christmas tree and we'll pick it out and get it, and then we'll go out to eat together for a brunch, and I think that's my favorite holiday tradition.
All right, so there's kind of like a running sort of inside joke in my family where there's this like plate that has a cat in it. It's really silly looking. And a while ago, it was a running joke started that every year we'd kind of like Secret Santa, whoever had the cat plate would like hide it in a present and then give it to another member of the family. And so every year or a couple of years or so, it goes around to a different person. Last year, I made like a horse out of like foam core and then hid the cat plate in that and then gave it to my cousin. And yeah, that was pretty fun. That's my favorite holiday tradition.
My family has this like kind of weird tradition. We call it ho-ho-hoing. We all get in a car and we drive to Starbucks and get hot chocolate. I don't know why Starbucks, just any place that has hot chocolate, honestly. And then we go drive around looking at Christmas lights and listen to Christmas music and sing Christmas music. And we do that like once a year. It's really fun. We annoy the hell out of each other.
When I think of the holidays, I think of, you know, the Christmas season, the gift-giving season, and who doesn't like getting presents, right? The excitement of the unknown. What is in the box? Why is it so perfect and pretty and that kind of thing? And opening up and getting a surprise. And for our family, especially for my father, my dad would always try to trick us or trick me. And And so I got to the point where I would pick up a box before we opened them, and I'd shake it, and I'd smell it, and I'd feel of it. I'd try to guess what was inside. And he got to the point where he would take the present and hide it in a different box. So maybe he got me a new CD or the CD that I wanted for Christmas, but he would hide it in a box of cereal. And I would never be able to figure out what it was because he was like being extra sneaky and tricky. And that was always my favorite tradition, is trying to figure out what the present was without opening it, and then trying to anticipate what the secret that Dad was going to pull on me. That was always a lot of fun.
My favorite holiday tradition is just getting in Blankens and just watching like Christmas movies and Christmas themed episodes on TV with like my family and stuff.
I guess sometimes when we do Secret Santa.
Oh, I don't actually have a lot of holiday traditions, but I think my favorite out of the very few that exist would probably be, you know, just advent calendars. We have these little like, just the classic ones, the cardboard boxes with chocolate in them, but I've always found them very whimsical, especially when they have like little fancy paintings on them. Like the advent calendars we have this year are like fully illustrated pieces of like Santa and like elves, and they have coloring sheets on the back, and they're just really nice, and I really enjoy them. Also, I will admit the chocolate inside of them isn't the best tasting. Christmas chocolate always has a very specific taste, but like, it's still enjoyable. It's still a vibe. Goodbye now.
I hope you enjoyed hearing about all the unique traditions of Benson students and teachers as much as I did. Once again, this has been Connor reporting for the Student Hour. Happy holidays.
This is the Student Hour. Student Voices for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS. Now aired on Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM and PRP.FM, on KBOO 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM, and on X-Ray, KXRY 107.1 FM, 91.1 FM, and X-Ray.FM.
Kristen Anderson is one of our somewhat modern times' most prolific writer of fairy tales. Most of you will know him from his most famous story, The Little Mermaid, or perhaps The Little Match Girl. But I know him from his story, The Snow Queen, which happens to be my favorite piece from him, and also my favorite holiday story, despite it not necessarily being centered around the holidays themselves. From a young age, I was captured by the interesting winter world, the high stakes, and the beautiful way it's written. And in this holiday season, I wanted to share it with you in my favorite media form, audio. So let's begin in Mackay's Mythic Meanderings first episode, my audio retelling of The Snow Queen. Part 1, which tells of the Looking Glass and the Splinters. Listen now, we're going to begin our story. When we come to the end of it, we shall know more than we do now. There was once a wicked imp, a demon, one of the very worst. He was the devil himself. One day there he was, laughing his head off. Why? Because he had made a magic mirror with a special power. Everything good and beautiful that was reflected in it shriveled up almost to nothing. But everything evil and ugly seemed even larger and more hideous than it was. In this glass, the loveliest landscapes looked just like boiled spinach, and even the nicest people appeared quite horrible or seemed to be standing on their heads, or to have no trunks to their bodies. As for their faces, they were so twisted and changed that no one could have recognized them, and if anything holy and serious passed through someone's mind, a hideous sneering grin was shown in the glass. This was a huge joke. All of the students who attended his demon school went around declaring the teacher achieved a miracle. Now everyone could see what the world and its humans were really like. They took the mirror and ran around the four corners of the earth until there wasn't a place or person unharmed by the glass. At last they fixed on still a more daring plan, to fly up to heaven, to make fun of the angels and of God himself. The higher they flew with the mirror, the more it grimaced and twisted. They could scarcely hold on to it. Up and up they went, nearer and nearer to heaven's kingdom, until disaster. The mirror shook so violently with its weird reflections that it sprang out of their hands and went crashing down to earth, where it burst into a thousand of hundreds of million, billion, trillions of tiny pieces. And that made matters even worse than before. For some of these pieces were hardly as big as a grain of sand. These flew here and there all throughout the wide world. Whoever got a speck in his eye saw everything good as bad or twisted. For every little splinter had the same power that the whole glass had. Some people even caught a splinter in their hearts, and that was horrible, for their hearts became just like lumps of ice. Some of the pieces were so big that they were used as window panes, but it didn't do good to look at your friends through them. Other pieces were made into spectacles. Imagine! The demon laughed till he nearly split his sides, and, as we tell this story, little splinters of magic glass are still flying about in the air. Now listen, you'll now hear what happened to some of them. Part 2. A little boy and a little girl. In a big city, where there are so many houses and people that there isn't room for everyone to have a garden, and so most people have to make do with flowers and pots, there once lived two poor children, but these two did have a little garden larger than a flower pot. They were not brother and sister, but they were just as fond of each other as if they had been. Their parents were next-door neighbors, and they lived in attics at the tops of next-door houses, where the sloping roofs almost touched. Gutter ran along between, and across this, each house had a little window facing each other. You had only to step along the strip of roof to cross from window to window. The parents each had a wooden box standing outside the window, and here they grew vegetables and herbs. They had little rose trees, too, one in each box, and these grew gloriously. The pea plants trailed over the edges. The rose trees put out long branches, some twisting around the windows, some bending towards the opposite bush, making a kind of arch of leaves and flowers. The children would often sit on their little wooden stools under the roof of roses and talk and play and spend many a happy hour. In the winter, of course, there was no sitting out on the roof. The windows were often thick with frost, but the two children would warm up a coin on the stove, then press it to the frozen pane. This would make a splendid peephole. Behind each round hole was a bright and friendly eye. One at each window, these were the eyes of the little boy and the little girl. His name was Kay, and hers was Gerda. In the summer, they could be together with a single jump, but in winter, they first had to climb all the way down one set of stairs, then up another, while outside the snow fell fast. "Those are the white bees swarming," said the old grandmother. "Have they a queen, too?" asked the little boy, for he knew what real bees have. "Yes, indeed," said the grandmother. "Wherever the flakes swarm most thickly, there she flies. She is the largest of them all. She never lies on the ground, though, but soars up once again into the black cloud. On many a winter night, she flies streets of the town and peers in at windows, and then they freeze into the strangest patterns, like stars and flowers." "Yes, I've seen that," both children cried at once, knowing now that it must be true. "Could the Snow Queen come in here?" asked the little girl. "Just let her try," said the boy. "I'll put her on the hot stove, and then she'll just melt." But the grandmother smoothed his hair and told them other stories. In the evening, when little Kay was back at home and half-dressed in his sleep clothes, he climbed onto the chair by the window and looked out through the little hole. A few snowflakes were drifting outside. Then one of these, much larger than the rest, settled on the edge of the window box outside. This snowflake grew and grew until it seemed to take the shape of a lady dressed in the finest white gauze, which in fact was made of millions of tiny star-like flakes. She was so beautiful, wonderfully delicate and grand, but she was ice all through. Dazzling, glittering ice. And yet she was alive. Her eyes blazed out like two bright stars, but there was no peace or rest in them. Now she nodded towards the window and beckoned with her hand. The little boy was frightened and jumped down from the chair, and then he thought he saw a great bird go flying past. The next day was clear and frosty. After that, the thaw began. Then it was spring. The sun shone. The first green shoots appeared. Swallows built their nests. The windows were thrown open, and the two children sat once more in their little roof gardens. The roses were so beautiful that summer, more than ever before. The little girl had learned a hymn which had a line about roses, and this made her think of her own. She sang the verse to the little boy, and he sang it too. "In the vale the roses grow wild. Children play all day. One of them is the Christ child." How lovely the summer was. The rose garden seemed as if it would never stop flowing. Kay and Gerda were looking at a picture book of birds and animals. And then, just as the clock in the great church tower began to strike five, Kay said, "Oh, something's pricked me in my heart. Oh, now I've got something in my eye." The little girl put her arm around his neck and he blinked his eyes, but no, there was nothing to be seen. "I think it's gone," he said. But it hadn't. It had been one of those tiny shards from the demon's looking glass. I'm sure you remember it. Poor Kay. He had got another piece right in his heart, which would soon be like a lump of ice. He didn't feel it, but it was there all right. "Why are you crying?" he asked. "It makes you look horribly ugly. There's something the matter with me. Ugh!" he cried suddenly. The rose has a worm in it, and look, that one, it's crooked. They're all rotten, all of them. And the boxes, too. He then kicked the boxes hard and tore off the two roses. Kay, what are you doing? Cried the little girl. And when he saw how frightened she was, he tore off a third rose and ran in at his window, away from his little friend Gerda. After that, when she brought out the picture book, he said that it was baby stuff. When his grandmother told them stories, he would always find fault and argue. He would even walk closely behind her, put on spectacles, and mimic her way of talking. It was so well done that it made people laugh. Soon he could mimic the ways of everyone in the street, especially if they were old or unpleasant. People used to say, "Oh, he's clever, that boy." But all this came from the splinters of glass in his eyes and in his heart. They made him tease even little Gerda, who loved him more than anything in the world. His games had become quite different now. They were so scientific and practical. One winter's day, as the snowflakes drifted down, he brought out a magnifying glass, then held out the corner of his blue jacket to catch some falling flakes. "Now look through the glass, Gerda," he said. And then she saw that every flake was very much larger and looked like a splendid flower or a 10-pointed star. It was certainly a wonderful sight. "Look at that pattern. Isn't it marvelous?" said Kay. "These are much more interesting than real flowers, and there isn't a single fault in them. They're perfect. No, if only they didn't melt." A little later, Kay came back wearing big gloves and carrying a sledge on his back. He shouted into Gerda's ear, "They're letting me go kite hopping in the town square where the others are playing," and away he went. Out in the square, the boldest boys would often tie their sleds to farmers' carts, and so be pulled along for quite a ride. It was enormous fun this time. While the other games were in full swing, a very large sledge arrived. It was painted white all over, and in it sat a figure muffled up in a white fur coat and wearing a white fur hat. This sledge drove twice round the square, but moving quickly. Kay managed to fix his own sled behind it, and a swift ride began. The big sled went faster and faster, then turned off into the next street. The driver looked down and nodded to Kay in the friendliest fashion, just as if they had always known each other. Every time that Kay thought of unfastening his sled, the driver would turn and nod to him again, so he kept still. On they drove, straight out of the city gates, and now the snow began to fall so thick and fast that the little boy couldn't even see his hand in front of him as they were rushing along. At last he did manage to untie the rope, but it was of no use. His sledge still clung to the big one, and they sped along like the wind. He cried out at the top of his voice, but no one heard him. The snow fell, and the sledge raced on. Oh my, so foreboding. Well, I hope Kay's all right. But I must sadly say this is the end of our show. Thank you for tuning in for Mackay's Mythic Meanderings first episode. I hope you enjoyed the audio retelling of the Snow Queen I'm doing. I'm hopefully going to be doing a second powder next week or the week after. I hadn't realized how long the book was, but I'm kind of excited about this. I'm enjoying this. Thank you for listening. Have a nice rest of your day, night, the timestamp you're in. Yeah.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbOO.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at xray.fm. Thank you for listening.
This segment of the Student Hour. My name is Rosa, and I'm here with
Jason.
And we're going to talk about the holiday that we celebrate. So we celebrate Christmas. That's what our holiday is. That's what we celebrate. So we're going to talk about one of our favorite things about Christmas. So Jason, why don't you go first?
My favorite thing about Christmas is probably spending time with my family and definitely opening up the presents. I love to see what I was bought for Christmas. I think that's my favorite part. And the hot chocolate and the Christmas movies. Oh my God. Snuggling up by the fireplace and just like, or not fireplace, but like being warm and just watching Christmas movies.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. My favorite thing about Christmas is also the hot chocolate, just being warm in general. That's why like winter's my favorite season, just because I loved it being cold outside, and then I'm just warm in my little bed, on my couch, in my blanket. You know, I'm just warm. And the family time is definitely something that's pretty special to me. Oh my gosh, this is my all-time favorite thing. My aunt Cindy, makes the best pumpkin roll. It's a roll. It has like cream cheese in it, and it's like pumpkin. It's I don't even know how to explain it, but it's, my mouth is watering. That's literally how good it is.
That makes me hungry. I want something to eat.
Too bad. I'll give you some of my aunt's pumpkin roll if I ever get some, and I'll bring it over.
You definitely should.
So yeah. Our least favorite thing about the season. Jason, you go first again.
What am I talking about?
Your least favorite thing about Christmas.
Oh, my least favorite thing about Christmas? I'd probably have to say, like, I don't know. Like, I don't really think I have, like, a least favorite thing about Christmas. I don't know. I like Christmas. I like the holidays. I mean, everyone just gets so festive and in the spirit. I think one thing I don't like is like when New Year's comes around and then everyone's like, oh, well, I don't really care what, you know, like what I did. I'm going to start fresh anew. I mean, like people just kind of like throw away their past, and that kind of frustrates me. But like, then again, I see like you wanting to start new.
Yeah.
So that's totally understandable. But I think that's like another thing I really don't like.
That's fair. I think my favorite thing about, my least favorite thing about Christmas is definitely the expenses on gifts. Because people are now, like, it's 2023, everybody wants the latest new everything. So whether it's a video game or the new iPhone or the, you know, like, it's always going to be technology related or hecka expensive. And, like, that's what kind of frustrates me, because kids, when I was growing up, back in my day, we had electronics, but not as much as they do now. Like, we maybe had a TV playing some Disney, and we'll be playing with Lilith's Pet Shop, or, you know, watching a movie with family, or playing like a board game. But like now they'll play board games on their iPhone.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Like I had a this, for me, it was like an old TV, because like you put VHS tapes in it.
Oh, I had one of those.
And you know, it would start, and then like having to rewind it or else you'd mess it up. That was always frustrating. I always had to rewind tapes because my siblings wouldn't, and that was terrible. But that was like kind of fun. But like,
yeah.
I mean, I can see like the technology stuff. For me, like now, I want blankets. I want stuffed animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, like I guess some of the like newer video games would be cool. But like, I'm kind of fine on that, to be honest.
Yeah, that's so fair. I don't even.
As long as I get like new blankets, new clothes, like a stuffed animal, or like books. I'm really into books now. Like,
oh yeah,
I have like a list of books that I want now. Like,
that's crazy, bro.
Okay, now you're just being sarcastic, but we're going to roll past that. That's fine. But yeah, like that's stuff I would want for Christmas.
That's so fair. Mine is just really clothing in general. I'm down for hoodies. Random little trinkets or knickknacks.
Trinkets is crazy.
Hey, all right. Hear me out. I'm a little goblin gremlin guy, okay? I'm always going to be a little silly. When I like my thing, it is gonna be my thing. I have a box of trinkets. Okay, leave me alone. It's just like random things I find.
Trinkets is still crazy. Like, I have never heard anybody call it trinkets.
Well, I haven't seen anybody read in 2023. So, I'm kidding. I love you.
You're crazy. Continue. All right, let's get back to the holiday.
Anyways, yeah.
Dang.
So, yeah. That's just, yeah. Anyways, let me get my train of thought back. Okay. Oh, okay. So
let's talk about the Candy Cane Lane or whatever. Is that what it is?
Peacock Lane.
That's what I meant. I was thinking of the Sia song, Candy Cane Lane. Listen to it. It's dope. Anyways, Peacock Lane. That's what I meant. All right.
Yeah, we should do that. We should go do that soon.
Yes. I have never seen it actually. Another thing I've never seen is the Oregon Zoo with their Christmas lights.
Oh, their zoo lights.
That's another thing I really want to go see, which it's y'all so should cool. definitely go see and go do. What was the other thing you mentioned? Like the boat?
Oh, yeah. They do Christmas boats down by the airport and down somewhere downtown. They do Christmas boats. It's like random people who own boats. They make their they put Christmas lights on it and make it look all festive, or put designs on their boat. Like once I saw, like, it was like an LED whale on the side of a boat. It was so cool. I wanted to do that with someone. I was going to do it with Jason here, but unfortunately we couldn't have our sleepover.
Yeah, there was plans that came up.
Yeah, but hopefully our upcoming sleepover, we can do something festive, like maybe
gingerbread.
Something.
Gingerbread houses. That's
oh my
another
God,
thing.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to talk about gingerbread houses. So, oh, that looks really loud. So gingerbread houses, I've seen a lot of like videos on it of like people just making it with their friends and stuff like that, or family. And it looks so fun. And like, we don't normally do gingerbread houses at my house. So like, but we do pumpkins. We carve pumpkins and stuff like that. But I don't think I've ever, I think we've done it like once or twice, but gingerbread houses sound really, really fun.
Yes. I saw this thing. I was going to wait for it to be a surprise, and then we didn't end up having our sleepover at the time. I was going to grab, it was like, it's a pack that comes with two gingerbread, and you can decorate it. It's just not a gingerbread house, but it's like two gingerbread people, and like you put icing on it and then candy on it, and it's like, sorry, it's really, really cool. It's I don't know. It's adorable. I feel like we should do it on our sleepover, and that's just gonna be cool. I feel like that's gonna be cool.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna do that. That sounds amazing.
We can always do a gingerbread house too, and you can just kind of take it home.
100%.
Yeah. Make sure ants don't get to it, or kind of, because like,
oh, ants is crazy around holiday time too.
Yeah, no, we have like,
it's like all the bugs trying to get away from the cold, so it's like
we have a ton of like baby mosquitoes by our back door. It's really weird. I don't know why they're specifically, but we do. So yeah, anyways, for our next thing, we should talk about New Year's, just to wrap it up real quick with New Year's, since it is coming up. What's a plan you had for New Year's? Were you going to do anything special? New Year's resolution? Go do something? What's up?
Normally, I just like chill at my house until like 12 o'clock, and then we'd go outside and scream, and then go back inside and drink like apple cider and stuff like that. Or sparkling. What is that one stuff? It's like sparkling cider or something. So you can buy it like Dollar Tree. And
oh, yeah.
It kind of looks like wine, but it's not.
The Martinelli's?
I don't know. That's weird. I don't know. We normally buy like tons of those because they go so fast, and we just like pull out like fancy glasses and just drink it. And then we watch like, I don't know. We kind of watch like all sorts of holiday movies, to be honest, because it's like the end of the year. I mean, literally the end of the year.
Literally.
And then, you know, midnight, you go outside and Happy New Year or whatever. I don't normally do New Year's resolutions though.
That's fair.
I mean, like, I can never think of anything that like, I mean, I tried this year and it kind of failed on me. So, you know, but I don't normally do New Year's resolutions. What about you, Rizzo?
New Year's resolutions, I'll say, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it. And I never do. I try my best to either way, but I'm just going to forget about it. And then it doesn't go. So, but something I do for New Year's is like, we'll have some friends around. My dad will barbecue, depending on the weather. Last year we had some fireworks left over from 4th of July. So we lit like two of those off. And then we had my boyfriend over, and we had our first kiss on New Year's.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then my sister was being creepy and hid behind a car and watched it. And she's like, do it again. I was like, oh, okay.
All right, wow.
Anyways, to keep this a little more family friendly, I'm kidding. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up for this student hour of our like holiday
thing
that we just talked about. So I hope you guys enjoyed.
Yeah, thank you. Again, this was Rosa and
Jason.
And yeah, thank you for listening to 1450 KBPS. anchor.fm.
Hello, listeners. This is Zip, the Chief of Music from AM 1450 KBPS. Today, I'll be talking to my fellow KBPS Chief of Staff, Joe, the Chief of Production, and Chilahosusk, the Chief of Promotion, about our favorite childhood Flash games.
Flash games, if you don't know, are games you can play on the website with no download required.
During middle school, we all have the memory of getting the rare chance to go to the school computer labs and getting to play games on computers. Nowadays in high school, we can't really get away from computers because we have to carry them everywhere, and they give us the Chromebooks to pretty much do the same job that the ones in the computer room had.
So do any of you guys have like a favorite Flash game or anything like that?
Me personally, it was Portal Flash. It was like Portal, but you were like a stick man and everything. Mm. That one was really fun, and of course, anything on Cool Math.
Yeah, cool math games.
Cool math games,
yep. Yeah, no, that is everybody's childhood. Let me rephrase. That was most people's childhood. I didn't actually play that because everybody else played it and I wanted to be different. So I played Flash games on any other website but Cool Math Games. I don't know why, because I found out after I got into high school that that's the website that has all the best games.
The one that I really remember doing, I don't know if you guys have a middle school experience, but this is closer to a elementary school experience for me. The one that I specifically remember that we went to a different website too, instead of just doing like Cool Math.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name, but it was like a Sonic one, like Sonic Flash or something.
Oh, well, was it just like a recreation of like the Sonic game, but on Flash?
I haven't actually really played any of them, so I don't know if it was recreation, because there's a bunch of kids in there that like really love Sonic the Hedgehog.
sounds like middle school, yeah.
Yeah, yep, that does.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then also way back when Pottermore actually like was vaguely anything you want to be on. Because there was like a whole you can like go to Hogwarts, but digitally now it's like...
I don't actually know what that is.
Does not really matter now.
Yeah, that's fair.
I only know Wizard 101, but I never played it. You guys ever played Animal Jam?
I know a lot of people did, but I didn't.
I played it because everyone else at my school did, and I had fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't remember a lot of the games that I played back then. Actually, one of them that I do really like, which I actually ended up buying on Steam... even though you can play it online, it was the early access, is a game called Ground. It's a very small game, mm-hmm. but it's a 2D survival game that is very pixelated. And it's a entire map. It's like Terraria-style map. It's really long, but it's a lot simpler, and I really like it.
To continue on that point about Flash to Steam, Clicker Heroes, if anyone ever... yeah, you remember that. That and BTD3 were like two games that me and my friends would play in elementary school and see who can get farther, and Clicker Hero was just one of them. And I think like 2-3 years ago I found it again, downloaded on Steam, and I'm still playing it.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the thing about Flash is that as of 2020, because Flash was an Adobe product that also was animation and stuff, as of 2020, most browsers do not support it anymore. So you can't really do it anymore.
Yeah, but like a lot of the original Flash games that you would be able to find, it just says, oh, Flash isn't available now. And only a few of them have been remade or republished on other websites not using Flash.
Yeah, but HTML5 games doesn't really roll off the tongue as well. So
yeah, that's also, fair.
No one stopped calling them Flash games.
Yeah, but like when you say Flash game, people are like, oh, I remember Flash games, instead of like HTML5. They're like, what is that? You know, as you were saying a minute ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorites that I actually play currently is on Armor Games. That's been my recent go-to site for Flash games and stuff like that. It's called Three Goblets, and it is a minimalist, kind of roguelike-ish, where monsters pop up on the screen and you automatically attack them and you deal like, you know, some number within like 1 to 10,000, I'm pretty sure. And it gets, you know, stronger as you go on. And you get items from it. And it's just, you know, sword, armor, health, and speed. You know, very, very simple stats.
Yeah, I actually went through and beat that game last year.
I also beat it last year, but I still have a lot of other save files and stuff like that.
I've never played it.
I highly recommend
it. It's fun.
It's really good. Three Goblets, right?
No, it's free.
No, three
as in the number.
Three
it's
goblets.
Called Three Goblets, right?
Yeah, it's Three Goblets, and the photo is of a blue, a red, and a green monster. I don't really know what it is. Probably like ogre or something like that.
Ooh, the ogre.
Yep. Most of the time, I just scroll on Armor Games and just, you know, see what new games are out there. I don't really go back and, like, repeat games, other than a couple, like, Three Goblets. And actually, earlier today in a class, I had nothing to do. I had done all my work. So I played Learn to Fly. You guys remember the Learn to Fly
games?
Yes,
that was with the penguin, right?
Yeah, with the penguin. I was playing the original Learn to Fly, and it was a lot of fun. I almost
beat it. The free Kerbal Space Program.
Yeah. I didn't really like the second and third games, though.
Duck Life. Did anyone play that?
I did not know.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, how did you know those games? I get mixed reviews about them.
I don't know what it is. Can you explain?
It's been a little bit. Well, you see. Well, depending on which one you get. Mm-hmm. You get a duck, and you train it to do races.
Oh, never mind. I have heard of this one. I haven't played it for a while, though.
Yeah. What about the Papa games? You know what? Like, Pizzeria.
Yeah. Papa's Pizzeria, Papa's Freezeria, Donaria, Susheria.
Yep. I think Burgers was one of them.
Yeah, Burgeria.
Ice Creameria? I don't know.
Yeah. No, no.
I think that was one.
Yeah. But, oh, my God, I loved those games. Yeah. Everyone did.
No, everyone is, like, it's pretty active now, like, speedrun communities.
Oh, yeah.
Speedrunning that game.
Yeah, because it had, like, kind of a comeback recently.
Yeah.
What's his name? There's a YouTuber that I watch occasionally, like, Easy Speezy, I think.
Yes, Easy Speezy.
Yeah, he's gone back and he's speedrun a bunch of old Flash games. I saw his Papa's Pizzeria, Burgeria. And I think I saw his Learn to Fly one.
There was another guy. I forgot what the channel was called, but it was like only 100% or something, like only good score Papa's games.
Oh,
where you would have
to
like make sure it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, I love seeing the internet videos of people who just make the most random burgers, just like stacks and stacks of just patties. And then they give it to somebody. And they're like, oh, 3 stars. Nice job.
Yeah, you guys remember the Mayo Burger, that video?
Yeah, I do. Oh, what other Flash games are there? Or other Flash websites, too?
I don't remember those. I'll be real with you. It's been ages.
Well, we can actually look them up right now.
Jack Smith was also another thing by the creator of Papa's. Jack Smith was fun.
Yeah, Jack Smith was fun. I think that's one that at least the last time I checked, I don't think that one was updated yet.
Oh, my God, wait. I just went to Cool Math Games, and the top game is Papa's Susheria.
Let's go.
Let's go. The run! Run!
Wait, Fireboy and Lava Girl? Come on.
Oh, yeah, Fireboy, Lava Girl. There's Papa's Freezeria. There's Clicker Heroes. You were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, Clicker Heroes. I recommend getting on Steam because it's free. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll pull up my Steam right now to go see how
there's Jack Smith. You guys were talking about that.
Yeah, Jack Smith was pretty
Snake.
Cool.
Snake. A lot of people like Snake.
Yep. Snake is like
World's Hardest Game.
Oh,
if you think about it,
have you even seen the people that speedrun that? That's crazy.
If you think about it, Snake is like a kind of like the oldest, like this, like
yeah,
this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one like of on the oldest phone. Games of all time. I know that.
Not like oldest games of all time, like oldest, I don't know, mobile games.
Oh yeah, because they had those on like the really old flip phones, right?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. It's like a simple.
Hey, I used to have one of those really
thing.
Old flip phones with Uno on it. I wanted to know that.
Ooh, the dinosaur game. The one that you get when you don't have Wi-Fi.
Just check my stream, my Steam. I have 67.8 hours in Clicker Hero.
Oh my God.
So going from like being a kid to be like, oh my God, I get to go in the computer room and then I get to type in my essay and then the teacher prints it out and puts it on the wall to having to do that all the time.
Yeah.
Especially with COVID coming in. So just go straight in the computer and then you can't really survive in our modern world without like having a device or anything.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
I definitely do think that it definitely has helped school become a lot more efficient and quick. And for a lot of students who have struggle writing like me, typing makes it a lot easier, you know, with autocorrect and other stuff like that. But it does definitely, going back to the Flash games, it does give students more of an opportunity to not do their work and instead do something fun like a video game, which isn't good. But I know that our school district, PPS, has done a lot of work on blocking those websites, but there are a lot of them that they haven't gotten to yet. Like, I think it's fine to play games in class if you've done all of your work and you have a good grade in that class.
I mean, that's how it went when we were kids, which was like, hey, we're looking at your computer right now, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They also implemented that thing where the teachers can see your computer screens on the Chromebooks.
But some people just bring their own computers if they have one.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Me, personally, I have my own computer. I still do my work. I just have my own computer.
Yeah, I have my own computer too, but I just don't bring it because it's really crappy.
Yeah, what other games do you guys remember? Oh, Blockers. You guys remember that one?
I don't.
Scroll back up. That one.
Yeah. I only really noticed this one like at the end of my middle school, quote unquote, career.
Career. Middle school is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, part-time middle schooler.
Mm-hmm. Part-time middle schooler, part-time gamer.
Entry-level middle school. Yeah, and then there is no game, which did actually get expanded into a full-on paid game.
Yeah?
I think kind of recently. I don't remember exactly when.
Which game?
There is no game.
Yes, there is
oh,
no game.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like the full game. I remember that. Another one that I saw in here is Bob the Robber. Did any of you guys play that?
Yes, I remember Bob. Was there like three of them?
I'm pretty sure that there's five now.
What?
But when I ended middle school, I'm pretty sure that they made three, but I remember seeing four and five. There's Duck Life. You guys were talking about that one.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting what I remember it. One of the other Flash Web sets, Miniclip. Do you guys remember Miniclip?
I'll be with you. I don't remember the exact. Matthews is the only one I remember.
That's fair. Miniclip was my go-to. I just have completely forgot about it because they did they remade the website and made it so that you have to like actually make an account to play half the games, which is boring.
Actually, there is it counts as a Flash game because it's like it's Krunker.
Oh yeah, Krunker.
Yeah, that counts as a Flash game, right?
Yeah,
You guys remember the Age of Shell Shockers?
Was that the tank one?
No, that was the egg one, where you're a bunch of eggs on the map. Oh,
Shell Shock, bro. Tournaments.
Shell Shockers, yeah.
Tournaments in your class of Shell Shocker 1v1.
God, teachers hated that game.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
Yeah. How about
2048.
Thank you. 2048.
Yeah, that's also a pretty popular game. Even if you didn't grow up with it, you probably would find it now.
Yeah, I played that on my phone.
Yeah.
Going back to the end of the Flash era from the early 2000s. I remember like a bunch of people there were like, because it's like I personally haven't, because you can still like get the software and make the games, but most play providers don't support them. I heard a bunch of people be like, oh, it's a lot harder to simply make a game,
because
you pretty much just have to like do like a vector thing, and then it's. I've heard that it's easy. I don't know if it actually is easy.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. Raft Wars? The game with the two kids on the rafts?
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah. That game was
Easy Speezy played that too, if I remember correctly.
That makes sense, yeah. Should we actually explain some of the games that we talked about?
Actually, there's one more question I want to ask before we start explaining is, it's kind of on the topic of like classroom games, but did you guys have like the whole, if your class did this, like you guys play like a little game, it was like a monster, not Khan Academy, that's something else. It was Ninja Classroom.
I think
my entire school actually did something about that once, and then there was like another website that like we did, but I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, I don't know.
I could probably find it again. It was like there was something about like it's like a weird combination of I haven't actually played Club Penguin or something, but then it was like math stuff. Yeah, it was really weird. Back to what I was talking about before.
Yeah,
I remember
a
bunch of people being like that the age that like there's like a new different age of like being able to easily put out your own stuff on the internet. Because
Like on Cool Math Games, they get like 10 new games a week, probably about. And I normally scroll through there and play the games that look interesting, but I don't like go through and play all of them.
Yeah, I've just kind of grown out of them. Moved on, chose different games.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, because back, I think a while ago, the main like place for Flash content in general was Newgrounds or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I remember Newgrounds.
Yeah.
That's still around, but I'm going to move on from that for a little bit.
How do you say that?
Agario.
Agario.
The IO games. Remember those?
IO in general was like such a thing. Survivor Dio?
Survive.io?
I don't remember. It was a zombie game that actually turned out to be that like got enough support to actually be a full game.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a Actually, I might download it again because it was a lot of fun.
And then I think the new kind of like website to put all your like little games on, I think, is itch. Is not? Is it itch? Itch.
I recognize that. Yeah.
Is itch.io the web well, front?
There's Pokey. Store. I remember Pokey. That one was very popular.
Slither. That was another popular one.
Slither.io, like Agario Dep, Deep Dep. I think that's just Dep.
Oh yeah, Dep. I like that one.
Yeah, Dep.io. Were you talking about Zoms Royale?
Yes, Zoms Royale. That one slapped. It still does today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Hole.io. I actually have that as a actually, mobile.
The interesting thing about that one is that, more correctly, I think that actually was a ripoff of another game called mm-hmm. Donut County.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Donut County was made after Hole.io. It was using a similar idea, but it was its own game.
Hole.io was pretty fun. I think I played on my phone for a bit, too, because I was like, I want a game on my phone. Wait, I need to go check.
Oh, Crazy Games. That was another one of those websites.
Yeah, Survivor.io. That's another mobile game.
Mm-hmm. Paper.io?
Yeah, I've ever papered. I still play it sometimes.
And going back to the thing before, where it was like itch.io is kind of like new, like indie game thing, where it's like easy to find, unless I'm saying the wrong thing, where it's like there's still like web games on there, but a bunch of them can be like not like real, but like you download them onto your computer and then you run them and play them games.
Yeah. I'm on itch.io right now, and it looks like that it probably is a combination, because there is a upload games section where you can upload your own games. It looks like a horror game website, though.
No, that's just what a whole bunch of it is, because that's what's popular with the kids.
Yeah.
They're quite literally popular with the kids.
Thank you all for joining me so much. I was with Joe, chief of production, and Chilahosas, chief of promotion, and my name was Zip, the chief of music from AM 1450 KBPS. Thanks for listening to The Student Hour on KBPS, TRP, and KBOO.
If you'd like to support The Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like The Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbu.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at x-ray.fm. Thanks for listening.
Portland Public Schools Superintendent Guadalupe Guerrero announced that he would be stepping down from his position and will leave the job in February, according to a PPS statement.
I knew that at some point, I think any CEO is always thinking about, at what point does a transition make sense?
Elected unanimously by the school board in August of 2017, he was PPS's first Latino superintendent. He held the position for 7 school years.
I actually held off a little bit because I felt like there were some hanging chads, like settling our labor contracts, some facilities planning work that we want to do, and a few other things on the to-do list. Just wanted to make sure we cleared those, and I wanted to make sure our board was afforded the time for, a really thorough community input superintendent search process.
During his tenure, PPS improved graduation rates, doubled CDE programs, and expanded access to arts education.
I don't have any regrets looking back. We're in the business of continuous improvement, so I'm sure there's lots of things I could have done a little bit better, but I'm also proud of, where I did put my energy and what we were able to get through.
This is Joe, and you're listening to The Student Hour, powered by AM 1450 KBPS Portland.
You've been listening to The Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is produced by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station online at prp.fm, and KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm, and X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM online at x-ray.fm. And thanks to our listeners like you, this concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. Full episodes of The Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. That's kbps.am.
1450.am.